This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Mamma mia, we are back for another week of Beyond the Edge. Here we are on the world's only Beyond the Edge recap podcast here. And we are not about to ring the bell, this bell, but not the bell to quit. Of course, here we are back with the co-host of Beyond the Edge, the edgiest podcast co-host of them all. It's Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
The edgiest podcast host of them all. Oh,
do you like that? Do you like that?
I like that. Okay. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Is that fact? We are the only Beyond the Edge podcast.
If there is another one, I apologize. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
We
will share the title of world's only Beyond the Edge recap podcast, but. Let me do a Google search real quick.
Rob, it would be in the spirit of Beyond the Edge for us to, share the title with the other Beyond the Edge podcasts.
I did this Google search, Beyond the Edge recap podcast. I think that other people from Beyond the Edge have done interviews, but...
Right. Like Reality Steve is probably talking to somebody, right?
Maybe. I don't know if he has yet.
Like all the Joe Millionaire people.
But
so.
We can say unequivocally, this is the world's best Beyond the Edge podcast.
That I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you, Rob, the Edgers are, incredible. They don't quit. They show up. They give it their all. They're like Paulina. Like, they do not have quit in them.
No. No quit.
And I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And we do this for them.
It is a labor of love, and it's for them.
Yeah. We do this for them. And so we are back, and we have some huge news to talk about. Okay?
Are you ready for news?
Yeah, are you ready for this? Okay. All right. So we have been telling you about how if this podcast, Beyond the Edge, managed to get to 100 ratings in the Apple Podcast Store, 100 reviews, I should say specifically, because this podcast has 170 ratings. Check us out, haters. We actually have 169.
Very nice.
5-star ratings and 1 4-star rating.
Okay. Why? Like, just give us the 5 at that point.
To our haters, some of whom are on the show, this is real, not fake. Okay.
This is definitely real.
In the Apple Podcast Store, US alone, there are 121 customer reviews. So I can say that we have passed a milestone. And that milestone was that if we got 100 reviews, we would be podcasting about Celebrity Exorcism with Chappelle. You better believe it, baby.
Hell yeah.
It's happening. Achievement.
Paulina, it's real.
Unlocked.
It's happening.
Okay. What else?
I am ready.
Mm-hmm.
I am honestly, Rob, when you said 100 reviews, I was like, he really doesn't want to do this.
Mm-hmm. No.
And the Edgers said, ah.
Yeah. There was a wall, and it was like pulling up Coach Mike Singletary.
Yeah. The legs were dangling in every direction. Mm-hmm. And Edris said, come on, Rob. Mm-hmm. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we are going to be bringing you, in between now and next week's episode of Beyond the Edge, we will bring you a recap of Tubi's Celebrity Exorcism featuring Meta World Peace, Jodie Sweetin, and another person.
Shar Jackson.
Shar Jackson.
Yeah.
Shar Jackson.
Or it is Shar Jackson.
The big three.
We forget her every year.
Sorry.
Every week.
Sorry. She's not on this show.
Yeah, that's true. She's the odd one out here.
Yeah. I'm only focused on the Grateful Eight. And Meta World
that
Peace.
That doesn't include Meta World Peace.
That's right. That's right. Forgot about that. Yeah. Meta World Peace still prominently featured in the marketing of Beyond the Edge, Jenny.
Yeah. Well, that's why they got him.
they got him to be in the commercials. Even I was watching Survivor on Wednesday night, and then they were like Beyond the Edge is featured. And the first celebrity they show when you watch Beyond the Edge is Meta World Peace.
I mean, like they probably got so many shots of him and clips of him ready, and they were like, "Oh, we only have two episodes worth," and mm-hmm. so they're just trying to get the mileage out of it.
Oh, you know, I asked on last week's podcast, was Mike Bloom going to have an exit press with Meta World Peace, and yeah. Sure enough, he did.
What? I didn't miss this.
Yes. Yes. So Meta World Peace has an interview with Mike Bloom. You could check that out over on parade.com. Mike Bloom asked, did you ever have any run-ins with the animals you feared when you were out there? He said, I know they removed some snakes and I knew there were alligators and different things like that. But those monkeys on top of the trees, they can swing and go where they want to go. The spiders are really small, so you can't remove the spiders at all. So there were lots of different things like that.
They removed snakes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they just like sought out snakes and then just like took them to a different location?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, they didn't do a great job judging by this episode.
Also, that Mike Bloom said, I know you got to work with Jodie Sweetin again on reality TV. How great was it to have a familiar face out there? He said, well, I had a great time with Jodie. We did a show together called Hollywood Scare, which I thought was called Celebrity Exorcism.
Meta, are you sure?
And it felt like it was fun. We chatted a lot. And then I found out she was on this show. And I thought that was really cool. And so we had a great time on another show.
This is great journalism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
Mike Bloom is a saint.
Yeah, Mike Bloom. If he's on the Beyond the Edge beat, he might have to be here with us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, listen, we had a guest last week and...
If we get 200 reviews, if we get 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts, Mike Bloom has to be a guest on this podcast.
Yes.
Okay. That's the next achievement, Edgers.
What are we at? We're at 120.
122. We'll count international Apple Podcast reviews also.
Yeah, we will combine the international reviews.
And we'll do it on video so Mike Bloom can wear a costume.
Oh my God, please. You know, judging by some of the other appearances I've made with Mike Bloom lately, he might not wear a shirt at all.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Certainly. Yeah.
But we have until May 18th.
Yes.
Because we found out today, shout out to Sam Moore for pulling these dates. May 18th, the season one finale of Beyond the Edge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have until then to get Mike Bloom on here, but don't count on it. Just because they announced the date doesn't necessarily mean we'll get there.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that is what's going on with the Meta World Peace interview. Also, Jenny, big news came across our desk this week when we found out that the star of another show that we podcast about recently, Martin the Butler, is now available on Cameo.
Where has this been all my life? On it, like we talked about this, Rob. This is someone that needed to be on Cameo. Like, don't mm-hmm. waste your good stuff on Instagram. Like, get your ass on Cameo and make yourself a dollar, my friend.
Yes.
And he finally listened.
Martin Andrew is available on Cameo. I am Martin the Butler from Joe Millionaire, for richer or poorer, and I am delighted to make your acquaintance. I look forward to hearing from you all. Until then, toodle pips. Here is, does not look like anybody has bought a Cameo from Martin the Butler yet, but here is a little bit of what you will get.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. Here is Martin the Butler.
Hello. My name is Martin Andrew. It's good to see you here on cameo.com. If you would like a personalized message from me, for whatever the occasion may be, please let me know what it is, and I'll be more than happy to do that for you. All right? Excellent. All right, then. Well, until then, as they say in my country, toodle pips!
It's got the bell.
Oh, the bell.
He's got it all. He's got all that.
Now, is he in the full garb? Like, is he?
Yeah, full butler outfit. Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to put the whole costume on every single time. But that's Martin the Butler over there.
What's his rate, Rob?
$99, Jenny. Get that paper. If it was a little more reasonable, I would have bought one for you. But it's a little.
Wow, Rob, you're really setting
$99 for a Cameo. Come
Rob,
on, Martin.
I don't want you to spend 99 of your dollars like on that for me, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if Mauro was on there.
Buy me a drink in New York or something. That's fine. That is a better use of your dollars.
All right, Jenny. Well, let's turn our attention to week three of Beyond the Edge. Right. And thankfully, nobody has quit Beyond the Edge this week.
Thankfully, right? Because we're all rooting for no one to quit.
Something? Can I be perfectly honest?
Please.
I am kind of rooting. But I'm kind of rooting for people to ring the bell.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted. What am I supposed to be rooting for?
I know. This is, Rob, what is it about the shows that we cover where we truly just don't understand what we should be wanting to happen? What is going to happen? How is this going to end? I do understand that Mauro, you know, has explained how the end works. The top two earners go head to head to win, like, what is it, an extra $100K?
Wow.
For their charities. But, like, I just, because there's no strategic component, no one's being voted out, I just, because we get to this, like, tribal council-esque thing of the lanterns at every episode. Lanterns.
Yes.
Put some respect on Lantern's name.
Yeah, of course.
What do I want? What do I, the viewer,
what do you
want? I don't know. I guess I want to see... I don't know. I guess they really want them to be pushed so far that they're in these situations where they're like, am I going to be a terrible person and let down my charity and my children and all of these people in my life because it's so hard out here? Or am I going to persevere? But like, how many times are we going to get that conversation? Like, thank God we had Meta World Peace, honestly, because that might be the only bell ringing we get this whole freaking season.
Do you think anyone else will ring the bell?
I mean, after how this particular Lanterns goes, I don't feel very good about the bell ringing being a thing. But it just makes me wonder. It's like, do shows sometimes get filmed and like, the premise kind of gets like messed up and then they're like, oh, well, we can't air this anymore because what we thought was going to happen didn't happen. And then it just never makes or like, because I have to think that they thought more than one person was going to quit. If we're on episode 3 and the whole cast is like, no, we're not ringing the bell. It's like, what hope do we have that this is going to happen in the episodes to come?
Yeah, that's a very good point. We look like they tried to make it seem like that Coach Mike was going to potentially quit. And there was like, we went to commercial break and there was like a very pregnant pause. And Mauro said, Mike, Coach Mike, will you go back to camp and ring the bell? And it was like very pregnant pause. And he basically was like,
extremely pregnant.
Yeah. I will never ring the bell. Like, all right, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, like, he's, like, the most, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, he's exasperated about how he will never give up. And, yes. Like,
and I'm telling you, I am pissed.
Pissed.
Like Sandy Bergen. I'm pissed.
He is pissed. But not for the reason you think.
Yeah.
He wants to be there. He just wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this whole rhetoric was just about, you know, being upset with losing. And could that make him quit? But, you know, tomorrow's another day. So mm-hmm. They made a whole, when we had like 20 minutes left, more than 20 minutes left, I think
Moro.
It was like 24 Moro minutes left of the episode. And we were just going to Lanterns. I knew no one was quitting. I knew no one was quitting because first of all, they spoiled that someone was quitting last week.
They're going to tell us. People are worked up about this potato, Jenny. You are more worked up about the coming attractions for Beyond the Edge.
Well, that's where all of my interest is laying mm-hmm. at this point in my life.
Did you make any angry TikToks?
No.
Okay.
I didn't make angry TikToks or happy TikToks or pissed.
Do you
TikTok.
Think anybody is using the hashtag Beyond the Edge on TikTok? Should we check to see?
Yeah, let's see. Because I know David Bloomberg is.
But do you think that I don't even think David Bloomberg has made Beyond the Edge TikTok?
No, I think he did. I thought he said he made.
Oh, did he? Is he feuding with Paulina also?
Yes, he is. Yeah, David Bloomberg has been trolling Paulina.
Yeah,
and okay. I'm on my Paulina apology tour.
I mean, she seems like a fine lady, neat lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a neat lady.
Let's see. Beyond Burger. No, Beyond the Edge.
Beyond Burger.
Okay. Beyond the Edge hashtag on on TikTok. Okay. Let's see. And let's see. Oh, there are some videos. Yeah, okay, there's a few.
Oh.
There's a few that come up. Yes.
All Winner Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of the people on the show. We got Lauren Elena did a TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have multiple David Bloomberg Beyond the Edge.
So we're dominating the podcast game of Beyond the Edge. But in terms of Beyond the Edge on TikTok, okay, you know, we still have room for improvement.
Yeah, we are... Yeah, we're not mm-hmm. staking our claim here. We're
now,
really,
Jenny, yeah. I will say the hashtag Beyond the Hedge is huge.
Is that like a gardening TikTok?
Mm-hmm. They have a lot more views for Beyond the Hedge. Join
What's
that
going
hashtag
on Beyond the Hedge.
Okay, they have 167,000 views. Wait. Yes.
It's all the same, though.
Yeah, it's one person. None of these Beyond the Edge videos have any views.
But some of them are the same ones under the Beyond the Edge one. Do you think that they're just like hashtagging like everything you could misspell Beyond the Edge for so that it doesn't
so?
Get missed?
Yeah.
That might actually be a pretty good like hashtagging strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody has a TikTok account, Beyond the Edge TV.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beyond the Edge Productions. But it's not about the TV show.
Oh.
Okay. So it's just they had that. They're squatting on the name, I think.
They're squatting.
Okay.
They're not counting on there being like a big enough yes. presence from this show.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this episode in particular. I thought this was some poetic justice here to open up the show because Colton Underwood opens up this episode, Jenny, and he starts opening his big mouth, talking smack about our guy, Meta World Peace.
You know, I knew Meta was struggling, but I think it kills me that he left. I think it kills me that he didn't talk to any of us before he left.
Oh, damn. You know what? You talk, you know what? You get bit by a snake.
Talk shit, get bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what Will Smith was yelling?
I don't, He could be a good candidate for Beyond the Edge season two.
Oh my gosh. He's not quitting.
Could you imagine if they got Will Smith and Chris Rock for Beyond the Edge season two? Just putting it out there, CBS.
Change the premise. Mm-hmm. Those are way too big of names.
Just putting it out there. I mean,
we would have to change the premise. There needs to be more of a competitive edge to go beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Besides just like competing for charity, like I want there to be like an alliance. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because we got to see more bonding during this episode.
Yeah.
And like
they love each
other. Interesting, but like it's way more interesting if you're like, oh, okay. Well, where is this relationship going to go? Like, what is this going to mean for the game?
Imagine if it was a bunch of celebrities that were rivals.
Ooh.
Think about it. Think about
Beyond
it.
Beyond the Edge rivals.
Beyond the Edge season two rivals. You know, because if you're one of the producers over at Beyond the Edge, and CBS comes to you, okay, what's season two look like? Okay, it's rivals.
I mean, how could you not want that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that this season is going to be a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe they feel like there's something there. They could possibly, we've gotten three seasons of Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
Maybe they say we need to make a few tweaks,
mm-hmm.
but I think we can get some like E-list celebrities back out here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need there to be a little bit of an edge.
Go beyond it. Yes.
To make this show a little bit more enticing. I love rivals.
Rivals.
There are enough rivalries in the celebrity world. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we're lacking any sort of like rivalry going on.
Okay.
For lack of a better word, because they're all just like they're working as a team and like they just want each other to all like win money for their charities. Like
mm-hmm.
it's not even really that competitive.
Right.
You know?
So I Googled the biggest celebrity feuds of all time.
Ooh, okay.
And so I think that there's like a lot to choose from. Vin Diesel and The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What's their feud about?
About the Fast and the Furious movies and who's the star. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj have a feud.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me all of that.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these people could be paid enough to come out here.
You don't think so? So Kanye could probably be on it with a lot of different people, but this says Kanye and Drake. But you could probably have Kanye and Pete Davidson.
I honestly can't keep track of who Kanye is good with. Like, I honestly mm-hmm. think that Kanye and Drake are good again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Kanye and Skeet, as he calls him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if there's a, you know, this is a way to go.
I would be into it. But like, how does this function in the game? Are they still doing it for charity?
Well, I think then they don't switch the teams every time. It's like the two teams.
Team.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I would like, yeah, because they probably wouldn't want to go. But it's like, well, what do you hate this person more? Or do you hate not giving money to your charity? It's like, oh, you got me.
There really needs to be some sort of voting out like function in the game, because mm-hmm. if we're relying on this bell ringing thing, I don't think it's happening. I don't think
ring the bell also if your worst enemy was there. Like, it's the conditions and it's hard, and then also the person you hate the most is also there.
Think of like the confessional gold they can get out of the situation where it's like, there's snakes out here, mm-hmm. but there's no bigger snake than insert this person I have beef with. Like,
yeah,
like that just writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So good. Okay. So nobody's sleeping very much. Colton, he only sleeps like 25 minutes. And the food situation is apparently dire.
I guess.
It's apparently bad.
I did see Paulina eating like a banana at one point.
They eat a lot of bananas. We only saw in the last episode where, remember when that there was a team of people that won canned goods, including Captain Morgan.
Oh, it's corn. Corn. I can't eat corn. I don't want to see it later.
Okay. But he did eat other things. He ate other canned goods. But by the next morning, the food situation is so dire that Craig says, we need to start eating worms.
Yeah. We went from canned corn to worms in like 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so bad. We need to start eating worms. He said we could use this for bait. I don't even know when they have time to go fishing.
I don't know what they do, because it seems like the adventure takes like a long ass time.
Seems like it takes the whole day.
And then they do lanterns in the evening and then they sleep. So I don't know when they would fish.
Right. And so Craig finds a worm and says, okay, well, here's the secret, Jenny, to eating a worm.
You don't want to swallow it whole because it will wiggle down in your throat and you will throw up.
Okay.
That is vile. And because I can picture it. Like, I can picture the feeling of the worm, like, hitting that
yeah.
dangly thing that swings yeah. in the back of your throat, yeah. like Cardi B says. Mm-hmm. And that hits the gag reflex. You are throwing up for you sure.
You gotta chew it up. It. Yeah. And so, who does he get? He gets Lauren to eat the worms, and she's like, "I taste like dirt." Yeah, like makes sense. Story checks out.
Yeah, because it's covered in dirt.
Yeah,
it is literally covered in dirt. You're probably just tasting the dirt.
Yeah, Jenny, I played in Survivor 50 days of my life. Okay,
and at
no point did any of the survivors turn to each other and say, "Hey, let's dig in the dirt and eat the worms." That never happened.
And these are two people that ate canned corn, canned beans, can of gravy, possibly. Yeah. I don't know if there was gravy. Like
they just ate dinner worms. Last night. And yeah. as Jody Sweden said, it's day three. In fact, it is the morning of day three. Yeah. They have been on this show for 48 hours.
They're eating worms already. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, that straight up is just like Lauren being like, "I'll eat that worm."
Mm-hmm.
And Craig like loving it and just like pushing her a little bit. Like, do they even have fishing gear when he was talking about
I think
about
we've
using
seen them
bait.
Fishing at different points.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay. That's yeah. true. Listen, usually, I get distracted like, by the story.
Yeah, I know. The story is complicated.
That's the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Jenny, we got our teams going for challenge number three. Adventure three is coming up. Time to pick your new teams. Before that, we got a lot more time with Paulina. I got a lot more about her background. She happened to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated twice. It was almost three times.
Almost.
Yeah, but instead, freaking Life magazine had to ruin it.
I didn't really understand this part of the story. So she got put on Life magazine instead. So then she wasn't allowed to be on Sports Illustrated.
Too much overexposure.
Is that how that works?
I guess so.
I feel like that's not how it works anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was,
mm-hmm.
a back in the day thing.
Yeah.
But
okay. And so, all right, time to pick out the teams. This time out, we're going to have Captain Morgan, although he was just a sergeant in the army. Don't get it twisted,
just
people.
A sergeant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Ebony. Ebony's been 0 for 2, but yeah. she's going to take matters into her own hands. She'll be a captain this time.
Yeah. So, you know, she wants to step up and, mm-hmm. and the, like, I love the meal they make out of picking teams of like 8 people.
Yeah.
Like it truly is the meal of worms that they're making out of this.
Jenny, it seems like that they pick teams every week, But the only drama ever is, where is Paulina going to get picked? There's been no other drama with making the teams.
I've never seen a person so traumatized by being picked last.
And so I guess the question here is Craig messing with her?
I wanted to pick Paulina first.
Hold on.
But Lauren, and we got to keep this country thing together, so come on.
Why did he say that?
Psych! He's like, I wanted to.
With the first pick overall, Captain Morgan is going to draft Paulina. But actually not. She'll actually be the last pick.
Yeah. And I mean, they set this up beautifully, because I personally was laughing, because I was like, is he trolling her?
Yes. Did you hear her screaming?
I wanted to pick Paulina first.
Hold on.
All
right, but actually not. Well, why did you bring it up?
Girl.
Yeah.
I think that he was trying to make her feel special, and then just like completely fumbled that and made her feel even worse, because it's like, I thought about picking you first, but why would I do that?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm picking Lauren.
All right. Paulina does not get picked.
She says that like she's gone through a lot harder things in her life than being picked last. But man, it really seems to be something that really gets to her.
It really gets her. I wonder if the producers tell him, turn the knife.
I think that has to be happening here. But like, she talks in her like little package, she talks about being a pawn in a political game between Sweden and Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, what is going on there? What was going on?
I don't know. My history knowledge is not great. I don't know what part she played in a political game between Sweden and Czechoslovakia, but like,
she was an adorable kid.
But I think that whatever that
tug of
was,
war
was probably harder than being picked last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad that she clarified that she's been through harder things.
Okay. All right.
I would be concerned.
Bring in our teams, our two teams of four for Mauro to lay his eyes on. And he's so excited for this.
And then there were the Grateful Eight. Mm. And we are all grateful that you remain here on your jungle journeys of sacrifice, self-discovery, and self-healing.
Sometimes Mauro just gets on one, and he does not know how to end it.
Yeah, he's like, it's not even a word salad. It's like a word salad bar. It's like all you can eat. He gets into the alliteration. He's like, oh, I could say this word, that goes with that word. He just like keeps going. And I am honestly like enthralled with it. It's the best part of the episode.
Yeah. It's almost like that he's in a car that's going 100 miles an hour that has no brakes and he doesn't know where to steer it next. Yeah. Like, look what the cat dragged in. If it isn't the eight people that we wanted to see more than any other people today, because they are here and ready to show what they can do for all the people that they are playing for.
That was like actually like pretty small. It's almost like when you're writing an essay and you're like, you have like a word limit that you need to reach, and you're just like, let's add as many words in here.
Yeah.
Let's try and get through this.
Do you think in Mauro's mind that they are grateful, like the Big Brother 21 alliance? Like, do you think he's spelling grateful with an H?
Yeah, I thought we didn't speak of that anymore.
Yes.
But apparently Mauro is bringing it back.
With Meta, they were undeniable.
Yes.
Grateful. Yeah.
From undeniable to grateful.
Okay. Now, all right. It's time for my favorite part of the show. Okay? Because we are going to hear from Jenny Autumn what this week's challenge was all about. What was the adventure, Jenny?
I can't believe this has become a thing.
It's the best segment of the show.
Is it? Okay. All right. Adventure 3 pops
Jenny
up on
Autumn.
The screen.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, we got the graphic for Adventure 3. It's a big thing. Okay. So, as always, we've got the first stage.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you start with the first stage.
Have to.
And there's like a big coil of rope.
Yeah.
It's a really big, thick rope. And they have to put the rope through holes.
Yep.
In wood. The holes are in the wood, and you have to thread the rope through the holes. There's something with like a 300-pound log and a flagpole. I didn't understand how we got from threading the rope through the wood to releasing the flagpole that was under the log, but it had something to do with that. So they have to work as a team to get the rope through the holes.
Yeah.
And then they have to recoil it on the other side.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep.
Does that line up with
re-spool
your memory?
Re-spool the rope through the log. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And we got
old classic chestnut.
Yeah. And the greatest part about this is like it was the equivalent of Jeff with a ball challenge, except for it was with holes. Mm-hmm. So you got all like the hole metaphors being like, oh, Blue has three holes. I don't know. Cheeky stuff going on there. Okay, so that was the first stage. Then, as always,
what comes next?
Going to the trek.
The trek.
The trek, baby.
Yep.
And we're trekking through a mile of dense jungle with the flagpole. They have to carry this giant flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obstacles in the jungle.
Yeah,
which
always.
Apparently, some are natural, some are man-made. So they're beefing up the obstacles in this jungle. And then you're trekking through this jungle to the lagoon.
Yep.
Of course, naturally. One always gets to the lagoon. this is where you have to go into the lagoon to retrieve the flag for your flagpole, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of the flagpole without the flag?
Yep.
Do you want me to explain the decision point?
Yeah, of course, Jenny.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that don't even watch this show.
A lot?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the percentage is? 70?
Yeah.
Anyway. So
probably
always,
I would say
don't ask.
Don't ask. We're better to not ask. Okay. Sorry, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Decision point for the first team that gets there, you can swim directly to the flag in the lagoon.
Yep.
Or you can get a kayak further out mm-hmm. to get your flag, and you also get a clue.
Yep.
And so that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. And you always want the clue on, you know.
It seems to be the clue is very important, we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, so this is like a very hefty trek because you're trekking through the jungle. You're also trekking through the lagoon. So it's like a trek within a trek.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got to end this out on the final stage where you get back to a ravine. So you've got the lagoon to ravine pipeline,
right.
Where there's like an incomplete bridge, which is essentially a puzzle. There's planks. And then you also have a saw where
mm-hmm.
you have to, there's missing pieces of the bridge and you have to literally saw the pieces.
Jenny, did you feel like that the production crew, was sort of like maybe hard pressed for time, didn't have time to cut the pieces of wood, and then just made that part of the challenge.
We'll just make them do it. It's an extra part.
Never seen this before in a challenge where you have to cut the saw the puzzle pieces.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by it. It was very confusing. I was like, why is it not just a puzzle? I mean, Morrow has been saying that it's going to get harder. So he's like, how do we make this harder?
Yeah.
Should we just make them saw a few pieces?
Yeah. He also said,
it's going to get hotter. It's going to get damper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, was the wood damp? I don't know. I feel like it would be hard to saw it if it was damp, but
yeah, I think everything's damp.
Rob, can we quickly chat about the planks?
Yeah.
Because when Morrow, you know, goes through the stages of the adventure, explaining it all to us, he does let us know that we are going to get to a puzzle with a Panamanian design.
Yes.
Which it just said
it was Panama a design on it, right? That said the word Panama. Yes. Yes, that's right.
Is that all it takes to that's call right. something a Panamanian?
There's nothing design? More Panamanian than the word Panama, the word Jenny. Panama. Yeah.
It was probably painted in Panama. Mm-hmm. So it says Panama.
Yeah.
It's painted in Panama. Mm-hmm. What else are you asking?
What more do you want?
I guess I'm asking too much, but yeah. So the clue, I don't understand how the clue is that helpful because it literally just says Panama on mm-hmm. it, but you have to saw pieces, put it together, complete the bridge, get your team across the bridge,
sure.
and then put that flag in the flagpole, baby.
Mm-hmm. Great then, job.
Thank you.
Great job.
I don't know how I do this every week.
It's very impressive.
It's truly an adventure of my own.
It's an adventure for you. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So, Jenny, we see these teams. One is led by Captain Morgan, who Morrow tells us this about Captain Morgan.
Well, so far in this competition, you have all proven that you have more game than a wildlife reserve.
More game than a wildlife preserve.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. The teams take off and we start off with the rope. Pull in the rope through the hole in the wood. Not easy.
Multiple holes, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. not easy.
It's not easy. And we're seeing these teams struggling. Morrow says look, if you think it's hard to pull a thread through a needle, imagine pulling a rope through a log. You never would.
I often imagine that.
Yeah, you never would have even thought about that.
It's a great philosophical debate.
Yeah. And so the red team, they are getting out to a lead. The red team is Captain Morgan's team, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Well, please. No. Red team. Yeah. Red team is Captain Morgan's team and the blue team is Ebony's team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we had a bit of drama early. Oh, no, I'm confused. Blue. Wait. Red team was.
I'm sorry. Blue team. Blue team is Captain Morgan's team.
Yes. Okay. The red team was the early lead because they had the better strategy of having Ebony re-spooling as the rest of the team was putting the rope through the hole, whereas the blue team was just letting their rope get into a big mess at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you know what, haters? There is strategy in this game, all right?
Yeah.
There's strategy in how to spool your rope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the red team, they are going to be the first ones to get through this section.
I got this.
The red team, literally at the end of their rope. And in this case, that's a damn good thing.
Like, try to tell me that this man is not amazing. This is at the point where I had to take a break to tweet my appreciation for Moro Ranallo because this man is a legend. Literally at the end of the rope.
And in this case, it's a damn good thing.
Like, he got me hype, Rob.
Yes, spool that rope.
Yeah, I'm rooting for, I don't even know why. I don't know why I'm excited, but I am. I'm hype.
Because normally, Jenny, if you get to the end of your rope, it's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. I'm really glad he clarified.
It's one of the worst things.
It is really not a good thing. You don't want to be at the end of your
mm-hmm.
rope. But
mm-hmm.
in this case, yeah. it's a damn
could
good
you
thing.
Imagine, could you imagine you said to somebody, hey, I am at the end of my rope, and they said to you, and that's a damn good thing.
Yeah. I feel like that would be the worst thing like a therapist could tell you. And I've heard like some like really messed up stuff from therapists this week. So like,
oh my, yeah. On other shows?
On other shows. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. We get to the wall. The wall presented problems because you had to get your people over the wall.
I feel like, Morrow did not mention the wall. Like, I feel like he yada-yada'd the wall.
Yada-yada'd the wall.
Like, was the wall a surprise? It was a surprise for me. And listen, Rob, I'm paying great attention.
I know you are.
To the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important to me now.
Yeah. What's the strategy for the wall? Like, what order should you put your people over? Because they had, who was it? The red team? It was Jody.
Ebony. And then Ray and
Coach.
Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
So they got, I think, Ebony over first.
Okay.
You get the two smaller people over first because you've got, like, your larger, stronger people, taller people to, like, hoist them up over.
Right.
And I feel like we've seen like this kind of function on Survivor. Too.
Right. There's we see this on Survivor. Like, I think the move, yeah, where they screwed up was, I think Ray was supposed to go last.
Yes. Ray should have gone
for whatever
last.
Reason,
he should not have left Mike.
For whatever reason, you know, Coach Mike, always selfless, he put Ray over. And then now we had, you know, Coach Mike trying to get over the wall and it was not happening.
No. And his legs were just dangling in every direction. He was flailing.
And I'm telling you, I am pissed.
He was pissed. Pissed.
This took a while. Took a while to get coached by. And Blue Team just like laps them during
Blue
this time.
Blue Team shows up. They cruise in. And Colton's just tossing people over. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't he know something about jumping walls or jumping fence? Is that a thing? Is that a different Bachelor season? I don't know. I could be messing them up.
Probably all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always someone mm-hmm. jumping a wall or a fence somebody. Or something.
Yeah. Somebody trying to get out.
He's got the experience.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. A Bachelor thing.
So this is where the red team, they lose their lead and they never come back.
Yeah. Well, especially because, you know, because Blue team, you know, gain some ground here. They get to the decision point first,
mm-hmm.
and they get to make the decision to go for the clue because that's what everyone does now. Even if it says it's going to take you longer, you're going to get a clue. But also, I feel like it was like a supercharged advantage this time because not only are you getting a clue, you get to go in a kayak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Besides swimming after,
but the kayak was you had to kayak out slightly further than if you had to swim.
I mean, he could see Jody like perfectly the entire time he's in the kayak. He could not have been that far away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, there was no hope.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. So the red team felt like, okay, well, for whatever reason, it was taking Craig a long time to untangle the rope. And you would think, Jenny, after this point, that untangling rope would be like nothing to these guys.
Yeah, that's the most practice they've had.
Yeah.
That's a mainstay here.
Yeah. So Jody is going to be the person who's going to swim out, we're told, about 60, 70 yards, which
is half a football field.
More than half a football field.
More than. Okay.
More than half a football field. And so, I mean, it's a decent swim.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. But it's also,
I'm not going to shade Jody on that. Like I would not be volunteering for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, you've been out there for a while. They play up this swim. I don't know, Jenny. I mean, it looked like Jody Sweetin was drowning at some points. She gets to the flag. She can't even get the flag out of the flagpole. I kind of thought that Captain Morgan was going to help her like get the flag out of the box.
That would have been the good camaraderie thing to do, which I thought was the cornerstone of this show. But I guess winning is everything. So
look, I'm no swimming survivalist expert. Is it possible that Jody might have been playing this up a little bit?
Oh, wow.
Is that possible?
She was like, oh my God, there's not enough drama. I need to do something.
She was
probably like, we're not winning anyway.
In agony. I need to- yes.
Why was she screaming? I was like, I don't know. Beating her?
I don't know. It was just screaming. I think because she was so tired in the swim.
But if I'm tired, I don't think I have the energy to scream. Mm-hmm. She was screaming as if like something was attacking her.
Mm-hmm. That's how she was pushing through. Like, she was pushing through.
I guess. Yeah. It was like a.
You know, you hear like in childbirth.
Right.
Yes.
I do know that, you know, giving birth in water is sometimes a great strategy.
So. Yeah. Yeah. This was so impressive to Ray Lewis.
I've never seen a greater warrior fight through this in my life.
I mean, now Ray Lewis has been a part of multiple Super Bowl winning teams.
Yeah.
The 60-yard swim from Jody Sweden from Full House was the most. This was it. This was the greatest thing that Ray Lewis has ever seen on the battlefield.
I have never seen a greater warrior fight through this in my life.
Ever?
Listen to the seriousness in his voice. In his life, he has never seen anything like this. That is the greatest warrior, Jody Sweden.
The greatest of all time?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
The true goat.
Are you sure? I mean. Like, we could say it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was great even. But.
I think Ray Lewis played in the NFL for 18 years.
I feel like Ray has experienced some true, feats
He's been through a lot.
Strength, you know, like
this was it.
Yeah, there was a point where Jody said that she was sinking, and then we came back from a commercial, and she was just still above water, screaming and crying. I was like, "Listen, don't lie to me. You were not sinking. I did not see your head go below water."
No. Okay. But
maybe she meant her spirit was sinking.
Impressive.
You think
impressive.
It was like some sort of like analogy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they get the clue. All right. The blue team gets the clue. They are headed off to go and work on the puzzle. Maura also said this.
Oh, wow. The plot thickens like the jungle forest.
Yeah.
The plot thickens like a can of gravy.
Yeah, that's it. That would have been better.
Yeah. Listen, if he wants me to ghostwrite for him, I'm free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for the rival season.
Okay. We found out that Lauren is going to be the puzzle person. This is good for Lauren.
I'm a really high energy human, so I have to do things that bring that down, and puzzles are something that does that for me.
Okay. Well, as a high energy human, I didn't realize you need to keep puzzles on hand.
You know what? I never heard someone put it that way, but as another person
high energy human,
I do feel like that I have high energy moments. You know, I definitely have low energy moments, but I would consider myself like a generally high energy person. It kind of made sense because it's like, there's nothing about doing a puzzle that allows you to be high energy.
Mm-hmm.
How about
sawing a piece of wood?
Well, listen, if I'm having to create my pieces, that is not something I signed up for in a puzzle.
Yeah.
I'm sawing things now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not part of a puzzle.
Okay. That's interesting to think about.
I don't know. It did actually make sense. However, Rob, there was another comment about puzzles that I did not think made any sense.
Yes.
And I believe, I think it was Colton that said it. He said the first two pieces of any puzzle are the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, aren't you doing, like...
The last two are usually the easiest.
I mean, I wouldn't say the last two are the hardest, but I wouldn't say the first two are the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're thinking, okay, again, we in Survivor and all of that stuff, we're seeing like all sorts of different shapes and sizes of puzzles. But I kind of feel like in like a regular puzzle, you're probably just working on the perimeter first, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, just I feel like that's
the middle is the hardest part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think that the first two pieces of, no, you just find two things to put together.
Yeah.
It's often like there's usually two pieces that are obvious that go together. I just, Colton, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there are some real puzzle masters that are going to tell me I'm wrong, but I disagree, Colton Underwood. The first two pieces of any puzzle are not the hardest.
I take your word for it, Jenny.
Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you.
So
your team Jenny over Colton.
Any day. Easiest decision in my entire life.
Thanks.
Am I team Colton or team Jenny? Please.
Okay.
Please.
Just making sure.
Okay. All right. Let me know when these questions get harder, okay?
Okay. Well, it's going to get harder and damper.
Yes, harder and damper. All right. So the teams are going and building their puzzle bridge, but this is not any old bridge.
One thing is for certain, this isn't your grandma's game of bridge.
Leave my grandma out of this, Mara.
What is he talking about?
Why are you shading my grandma?
They're not playing bridge. It is a literal bridge.
Yeah. We're building a bridge, then playing a bridge.
This is not your grandma's game of bridge. It's like, yeah, I know. It's building a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never played bridge. Have you played bridge?
No, I have not either.
No, don't know that one.
Do you think we'd like it?
I mean, I love games, so.
And you can explain the rules to me because you already are so good at explaining the rules of the adventures.
Listen, I'm really bad at like having someone verbally explain rules, but like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting pretty good at explaining them myself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. When we get together, you can explain how to play bridge.
We'll play bridge. I got to learn how to do it first. Yeah. I'll teach you. Ralph.
And then it'll be a lot more fun. And Mauro can come in and say,
one thing is for certain, this isn't your grandma's game of bridge.
Yeah.
And hopefully we won't have to saw our own pieces.
Yes, hopefully not. Okay, so congratulations to the blue team. They win, and congratulations. It's another win for Lauren. And so they win $35,000. And so congratulations. That's it.
Red team, you're done.
Why did you have to say it like that?
You're done.
Yeah. And what did the red team say? Oh, hell no. No, we're not. We're not done.
They don't quit. That's how this show works, is they don't quit. And I mean, Jody really said, I did not swim and almost die, apparently, for nothing. I am finishing this bridge.
Yep.
I'm going to build this bridge and get over it.
And get over it. Because mm-hmm. this is not your grandma's game of bridge. And of course, you know, that's part of like the being the fiercest warrior Ray Lewis has ever seen.
I've right. never seen a greater warrior fight through this in my life.
Yeah. So.
In my life. He meant that.
No greater warrior than Jody, who's going to raise the flag anyway. But it doesn't matter because that the blue team is going to win. And so, boy, I think the rewards keep getting better every week because the first week was a bath. Second week was canned goods. And so for the blue team, they win a great reward. They're going to win blankets and pillows so that they can finally get some sleep. And hopefully that they will have a great night's sleep like this.
Hopefully you'll get more winks than Rip Van Winkle.
Rob. Who is Rip Van Winkle? Like, I know, I've heard, like, Mauro, you're my guy. You're my guy. But what are you talking about? What are you talking about, dude?
I think Rip Van Winkle, you know, he started that sentence, like, you'll get more winks than, I'm like, where is he going with this?
Yeah,
more winks than Rip Van Winkle. So Rip Van Winkle, I think it's a story about a guy who slept for like 100 years.
Is that where getting winks came?
I don't know. 40 winks? Maybe. Rip Van Winkle is a short story by the American author Washington Irving, first published in 1819. It follows a Dutch-American villager in colonial America named Rip Van Winkle, who meets a mysterious Dutchman, imbibes their liquor, and falls asleep in the Catskill Mountains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they get liquor?
So that's what happens. Rip Van Winkle.
More winks than Rip
Van Winkle. I hope you'll get more winks than Rip Van Winkle.
Okay, Moro. Sure. I'm going to start using that. I'm like, oh, I'm off to get more winks than Rip Van Winkle.
Hopefully you'll get more winks than Rip Van Winkle.
I hope we get more stars on Apple Podcasts than Robert Van Winkle.
Yeah. I hope so, too. Oh, my gosh.
Robert Van Winkle, I believe, is the real name of Vanilla Ice.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yes.
He is definitely a Van Winkle.
No relation, though.
No, he doesn't know Rip, I guess. Or is he a descendant of Rip?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He knows about VIP. I don't know about RIP. Does he have a rival?
Oh my god. Okay, that now we're talking people that we could actually get. Wasn't he in one of those celebrity death match fights? Like just pick whoever he was against.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? See. Am I making it? This is a fever dream at this point.
Let's see. Does he have a rivalry with Hammer?
Okay, I'm searching Vanilla Ice rival.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Because they had didn't Vanilla Ice sample? Oh wait, no, I'm mixing things up now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm now just getting an Amazon ad for Rival Frozen Delights Vanilla Ice Cream.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Now we're talking.
Mamma Mia! Yeah. Sounds better than a can of gravy.
Well, not much is better than that, as you know.
Okay. All right. So
I learned nothing about Vanilla Ice. Rifles. I'm looking at ice cream now.
Not everybody is happy about the betting.
Oh man!
Somehow, Jody Sweetin has reverted into Stephanie Tanner mode.
We get a little bit of bitter Jody in this episode. This is really delightful to me.
The words of the fiercest warrior Ray Lewis has ever seen in his entire life.
Oh, man!
Yeah, that sounds like a warrior to me.
Yeah, but I don't think they should have given them these nice bets. Because I want people to quit. I want people to quit. These look like waterproof sleeping bags. Like, this is too nice. I think they actually did too much. Like, let them have this for one night.
I was so confused by the reward system because I was like, okay, they were eating canned goods last week over a fire. And then this week they're getting mattresses and pillows and blankets. I'm like, I feel like we jumped very, very far. Like I do not feel like,
and apparently we'll find out later that anybody you want can also sleep in your bed. Like,
what's the point? Like, they should have.
Do we want people to quit or not?
And I thought they did. And again, I don't understand, Rob. I don't know what I'm rooting for anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I'm rooting for the charities to make money.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
But
sure. Yeah. Sure. That goes without saying.
Obviously. And
make no mistake. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. What we're rooting for is for people to ring the bell and then for Moro to say, like, well, the second person to ring the bell is going to get a lot of money for their charity.
Oh, so you think that it's like this is a twist. Mm-hmm. Like, so ringing the bell has a good consequence.
Yeah, they should just give money to everybody's charity.
Yeah, that's why I don't love the I understand because I think that it's, possibly problematic to just be giving people that are already wealthy more money. So I do like the charity aspect of it, but I just like, if you want, if the point is that they're not going to be voting each other out and they are relying on them quitting, but they're out there trying to win as much money as possible for these charities. Like, Meta World Peace was the only guaranteed quit. You knew that going in. Who's quitting?
Why are we doing that?
What are we doing here? I just want people.
I ask myself that every week.
This bell. Same. They created this bell at the camp. And for it to be rung once, it's just.
Heated blankets, Jenny. Heated blankets. Not even heated, just blankets.
I know. How are they heated? This is what I don't understand.
Battery, maybe?
Battery operated heated blankets.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? These people are never going to leave. They're going to be like, I'll stay here as long as possible. I'm going to get more money from my charity. Try and stop me. I'm pretty sure that Craig Morgan is like, he's ready to stay for like months. He loves it. He's like, give me all the worms to eat. Like, this is great. There was that weird scene where he like, it was like the Blair Witch Project after Colton maybe got bit by a snake.
Oh, yeah, right.
We
right.
didn't even talk about this. Yeah. He like did he fake being bit by a snake?
He's like, I kind of dig it.
And yeah, and then Craig was like crazy eyed into the camera. He's like, there are things out here that want to hurt you. And I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, Craig.
We should talk about this some more.
Do you think that we're going to find out at the end of this that actually like Craig was involved with the production this whole time?
That he's a mole?
That he was like, he made this whole thing?
It was his brainchild.
Yeah. Like a real twist ending.
Yeah.
Of like other things that have been on Netflix in the last year that I won't spoil.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the, we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Jenny, let's get into then. We got a little bit more about Ray Lewis. And Ray Lewis talks about his whole backstory. He had a tough upbringing, and that he talks about how that he used to stutter as a kid and he overcame that. But he tells a story about how his mom was dating a guy who was abusive. And then the guy one day came and threw a snake at Ray Lewis. Was this like Jake the Snake Roberts? What the hell is going on here?
I was very confused about how this.
Don't tell Meta this story. I hope that this isn't what made Meta leave.
Yeah. Where did this man get a snake? Like, where did this story take place where, you know, the man like, and it sounded he threw the snake through a window or something.
I don't know.
It was very bizarre. The snake got thrown into his lap.
Right.
Like, was it an attack snake? I just never heard of this as
I didn't know this happened to people. Yeah.
That people are just tossing.
Again, I hope Meta stopped watching the show.
Yeah. I'm sure he did.
So, Jenny, the show kind of yada yada'd when Colton got bit by a snake also, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We opened. Okay, first of all, they are milking anything they possibly can for these previews because no one's freaking quitting this.
Right.
But, so we got the preview last week of, Colton got bit by a snake, and we lead off the beginning of the episode in it. And then they look at him. He's in the middle of like talking shit about Meta. So he gets bit by a snake apparently. But then they show the medics looking at him, and then they were like, oh yeah, no, it doesn't look like you've been bit by a snake.
Or by
a venomous snake. So it's like, did you not get bit by a venomous snake, or did you not get bit at all?
Now, is it possible that this could have been like a false alarm, to put it kindly?
I mean, possibly. We did not get any closure on what happened there. It was like, could it have just been like a bug that bit him, like a mosquito or something? And he was like, it's a snake.
Because, Jenny, sure. just hear me out here, okay?
Okay.
So this is day 3 of Beyond the Edge. Yeah. Colton got bit by a snake, allegedly. We are on 42 seasons of Survivor, okay? 608 people have played the game of Survivor. To my knowledge, there have been 0 reported snake bites on the show. I believe like 4 of these seasons have filmed in this very location.
Right, yes.
39-day seasons of Survivor, okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe at least 3 of them. At least 3 of these seasons have filmed in almost this exact location. 0 snake bites.
Rob, are you trying to say that Colton is the boy who cried snake?
I don't know. I mean, did he get a bug bite? And then
that's what I'm saying. It's like, was it a mosquito? Because like there was no snake to be seen, and the medic said, this is not a venomous snake bite. It's then what was it?
Was it a snake bite that was not venomous?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like, was it a snake, or like, was it a non-venomous snake, or was it not a snake at all? And Meta apparently said that they took all the snakes out. So if the snakes are not biting anyone on Survivor, and they've apparently taken the snakes out, I don't know where they took them.
Yeah.
How is Colton maybe being bitten by a snake? I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But they really did yada yada it. They're like, okay, everything's fine.
Yeah, oh, you got bit by a snake. Okay, all right, on to the next thing.
Yeah. It was so weird.
Okay. All right. So
anyway,
who knows?
Colton's fine.
Who knows? He's fine.
He's great.
He's fine. Okay. Lanterns. Time for lanterns, everybody.
Everyone's favorite part.
Yeah. Oh, right? Actually, by the way, that Ebony, she's the cooler. She's can't win anything. She has no luck. And she did get an invitation to go. And that, you know, even though she has no sleeping bag of her own, she did get an invitation.
It's been a while since somebody asked me to sleep with them.
Yeah. Who is it? Was it Paulina or Lauren that said you could sleep in my...
It was Lauren.
Sleep
Lauren
in my bed.
Was offering.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, that's the thing is like, what's the point of winning if the winning people are just going to let the losing people benefit from the reward? Mm-hmm. We didn't see anyone else coming to eat cans of gravy.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So what's going on here?
I guess you're allowed to do whatever you want. Okay. So it's the lanterns. Everybody gets to come in. Moro greets everybody. And Jenny, I was reminded of, you know, the Key and Peele sketch where we see that Peele is president. Oh, yes. That's what I kind of felt like that this was here, entering the lanterns.
Hello, Ebony.
Hello,
look at this rock star, Jody. How are you?
Hello, I'm
My
good.
My man, Ray. Hey, Coach. Good to see you. Paulina.
Hello, darling.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, brother.
It literally is like that. He's like fist bumping everyone. Like, I'm pretty sure he was doing strictly fist bumps, like, you know, all sorts of different varied greetings depending on who he's seeing. It was just like that scene.
So, Jenny, everybody gets $2,000 just for showing up at the Lanterns for their charity?
It's not about showing up at the, I mean, you have to show up at Lanterns to get it, but it's about last, it's the symbolism of lasting another day.
Okay. All right.
So you get two grand a day for just lasting the day.
Yeah.
That's why Meta World Peace went that one day to Lanterns. He was already thinking about quitting before that. He's like, I got to go to Lanterns to get that two G's for my charity.
And the betting really is going to help for Paulina. She has arthritis. Okay.
Both hips.
And it's just like being in her luxury bed at home.
I can't imagine it's that close, but maybe she just doesn't have a heated blanket on her bed.
Doesn't have a heated blanket. All right. Now we get a lot about Colton and Colton's journey for redemption. I mean, honestly, I feel like that they don't really talk about the thing that Colton most needs to be redeemed for.
No.
So I don't really.
Not. They definitely.
I don't really know.
Between
what,
that and the snake, it's very yada yada.
I don't know what they're redeeming him for, why they feel like that he needs to. But they I feel like they don't really talk about like the biggest issues here.
No. Definitely not. This is like image rehabilitation for Colton, but we're not acknowledging what needs to be rehabilitated. You know, it's like, but yeah, he talks a lot about like how he leaned into being on TV.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this was a very sad story for Colton.
Believe it or not, after football, I was so lost. I fell into TV.
Oh my God. That's Colton. You don't have to go down the road I did. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get mixed up in TV. And there's
next
only,
thing you know, you'll be podcasting.
Yeah. But I mean, for Colton, this is serious, Jenny. Okay. He got mixed up in TV and I'm glad that he's finally taking some accountability and trying to overcome falling into TV. Here on Beyond the Edge.
Yeah, he's really overcome the whole TV part.
Yes.
Through this whole experience of television. Well, I mean, to be fair, he's probably like a lot less people are watching this than the
best. Yes, I'm weaning myself off of being on TV by going on shows that have lower and lower viewership.
You can't
go cold turkey. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got to wean yourself off.
What's he doing next? What's beyond the edge besides this podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So, they talk about how, you know, is anybody going to quit? Anybody like, no, hell no, no way. We'll never quit. But yeah, coach Mike does take a long time. The coach, I mean, coach.
Morrow seems like really like somebody give me something.
Somebody give me something.
Anyone?
Anyone?
You have to cut to a commercial. Hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Because anyone? Anyone? And coach tells us.
And I'm telling you, I am pissed.
He's pissed. But he's never going to quit. Never quitting.
Yeah.
No quit.
I mean, we went to a commercial, came back, and got the whole scene all over again. And yeah, it's him saying like, I don't care what you come up with. Like, I wouldn't come nothing
Never.
You could do would make me close to.
Okay.
He's like, oh, okay.
You put it that way.
Coach.
And then, of course, like, you know, Coach Mike and Ray Lewis, they have to go back and forth of like who can make the most dramatic punctuation on each thing that happens at the Lantern. So Ray has to outdo Coach. Yes.
Well, I mean, Mike Singletary is his hero.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he said that.
Yes. He pulled his hero up over the wall.
So it's like a kid seeing like a parent that or someone that they admire doing something like, oh, I want to be just like you. And so, you know, we see coach being super inspirational, and Ray said, okay, here I come. Mm-hmm. You thought that was an inspirational tale?
He's going to go down the line and talk about why, what it's like being here and how this is the greatest group of people ever assembled. And he's so lucky to be around them, especially one of the greatest, Colton.
If you took a moment to not judge Cole, but just hear him, you would know he's golden.
Is he?
Poetry.
Is he?
No. This man is reciting poetry. Mm-hmm. He's like Colton, what rhymes with Colton, golden. Like this next piece is performance art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's reciting poetry. That's what he's going for. He said Colton, what rhymes with Colton, golden.
But when Ray Lewis says, if you take a moment to not judge Cole, well, like, what are we judging him for?
We'll never acknowledge it.
Does Ray Lewis know about the whole thing with?
No, I don't think that. And like, that's the thing is like the beginning.
And then if not, what is Ray Lewis talking about?
I know, because the way this got packaged was people were upset that Colton came out. That's mm-hmm. not the case. That's not what people are judging Colton for.
Yeah.
But that is apparently the story that's being told here. So I think that Ray Lewis thinks that people hate Colton because he's gay. It's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
That's really not the story, but okay.
I don't think so.
Sure, he's golden.
I mean, yeah, it's like, Ray, your heart's in the right place, but I don't know if you know the whole thing. Okay.
They've only been there 3 days, Rob.
Yeah.
May not have gotten there.
Yes.
Yet.
Okay. I like Mike Singletary told the story about his brother is gay and his brother came out to him. But is that Mike Singletary wouldn't get out of bed so his brother could come out.
That was another. I feel like they edit some of these stories where they go from like the beginning of the story and then they yada yada over the part, and then suddenly a snake's being thrown at someone, or like it's like get out of bed, and then it's like there's some sort of conflict, and it's like I'm gay. It's like okay,
yeah, it's 5:42 a.m. Why are you telling me right now?
Yeah, I just feel like they yada yada over the parts that make these pieces of story like connect,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm. yeah,
I mean
okay.
It's an interesting form of storytelling.
It's only a 42-minute show.
Yeah, they're doing their best.
So we find out nobody's going to leave. Everybody's staying. And so Moro has some parting words. He sent everybody back to camp.
Make your way back. Enjoy the restful sleep. And I have a feeling you might have some company tonight.
Oh, no.
Stop.
No, I'm talking about the fact that the winning team might have some company because of the sharing of the... I apologize. No snakes. No bats.
Glad you cleared that up.
Glad you cleared that up. Finally, something's being cleared.
There's so little going on. We have to include like this whole misunderstanding.
Like this would get cut from literally any other show. They're like, oh, we won't use this. Like, it's fine.
And another case of Moro, like selling past the clothes, going on like two. You'll be having some company tonight back at camp because you know that people will want to share the rewards. I didn't mean to say that snakes and bugs will joining you. That won't, like, well, how do you know?
No snakes, no bats, no, just the other team.
Just the other people want to sleep in your bed. So, okay.
Glad you cleared that up.
I also, like, there's, like, a weird relationship with Moro and the cast. It very much differs from, like, the relationship that, like, Jeff Probst has with, you know, Survivor contestants, where, like, he's, like, hugging them as they leave. Like, we saw, like, the fist bumping and the greetings as everyone comes in. He, like, hugs Colton and says, thank you for sharing yourself with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a... It's just a very different experience of like watching the host of the show, like hugging and like thanking people. I don't know. It's Can you imagine, like,
we're beyond
like
the edge, Jenny.
People hugging Jeff.
Only, well, like, only during the season 40 when the jury got to get their loved ones.
Right.
Yeah. That was it.
That was the one time that, the hugs came in.
That was the only time that that ever happened. Otherwise, don't even try. Get away.
Wait,
get
didn't
away.
Somebody else ask him for a hug?
Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that a kiss?
I don't know. That's a kiss. I think Johnny Fairplay might have wanted a hug. Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
You should list of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being hugged moments.
And Jeff doesn't like to hug the contestants. Also because they're gross.
Yeah, they're stinky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Morrow doesn't care. I mean, they've only been out for 3 days and they already got a bath.
Mm-hmm. Them, so. Yeah. It doesn't bother him. Okay. No. So that's Beyond the Edge week number 3, Jenny. Are you ringing the bell? Jenny, are you considering ringing the bell?
This is Scott. If you want to insert a commercial here, this would be the time. And maybe like a nice dramatic pause after. And then when we come back, Rob's going to actually say that again.
Jenny, would you consider walking away from from all the people that want to tune in to hear you talk about Beyond the Edge every week?
Rob, I don't care what you come up with. I don't care what this show brings me next week. I don't care what guest comes on here. You can't bring anything to this podcast that's going to make me quit, because I do not give up on the edgers.
Well,
I am pissed.
I guess that's that. I guess she's not leaving.
Now I'm going to go eat a snail.
All right. Well, then we'll see you back next time when we will won't be alone.
Wait, what?
I mean that we'll be with the listeners who are with us every week.
Oh, my gosh.
Glad you cleared that up.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah. Jenny, next time, did you watch the preview for next time?
I sure did, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, please.
Yeah.
I am on the edge of my seat.
And that's why they call it Beyond the Edge. You're beyond the edge of your seat.
That is where I live while I'm watching the show.
I have a friend of mine that he went beyond the edge of his seat and just like fell right out of it recently.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a painful experience.
Hurt himself. He hurt himself.
Podcasting business is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
More dangerous than the jungle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Jenny, looks like there's going to be an ant attack next week.
Yeah. Which do you think has worse ants? The Big Brother house or Beyond the Edge?
If only Meta would have stayed. Meta's the only person that could answer that question.
That's the one thing that he could handle. He's done the ants before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they tease Ray might ring the bell.
Yeah. Is that possible? What are the chances? Or did Coach Mike invent the lantern fake out? Every single person is going to like ask the rhetorical question. Could I ring the bell right now?
Am I thinking about ringing this bell?
I would ring the bell. Not. I wonder.
I mean, Ray has to do whatever Coach Mike does, so I think that this is a viable theory.
I am starting to worry about Coach Mike because he says he will never ring the bell, but I'm starting to wonder, Jenny, that but when we get to day 4 of Beyond the Edge, it looks like he's drowning next time. Like, he's not getting over the wall. Look, I think that, you know, these challenges are starting to take a toll.
I mean, how old is he? He's 50 something.
62. 62.
62. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's being dragged around like a rag doll over high walls and stuff. But here's the thing. I don't ever believe when they say that someone's drowning, because I don't think Jodie Sweetin was drowning.
Yeah.
She's just screaming a lot in the water. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
But
you think you're on record that you say this show is fake.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Like it's something I've said all over Twitter.
Yes. Just don't get it twisted. Jenny Autumn does not think it's fake.
No.
Yeah.
I am a edge truther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm trying to see if Jody Sweetin has commented anything about whether or not
drowning.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't show it. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. All right.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Well, okay. Maybe if she does ring the bell someday, like Mike Bloom can get the answer. Exit Press.
Wow.
And don't forget, we're trying to get Mike Bloom on the show. So don't forget about those reviews.
Yeah, 200 reviews for us to get Mike Bloom here beyond the edge.
Yeah.
He's interviewed Meta World Peace. Maybe he'll interview more Beyond the Edge contestants.
Yeah, like all of them make it to the end. Is he just going to interview them all?
Yes. It's only fitting if the world's number one Beyond the Edge podcast had the world's top Beyond the Edge journalist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those things go together. Like,
yes. What a meeting of the minds.
Of course.
The top Beyond the Edge experts in the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm adding that to a resume for sure.
For sure. For sure. Okay. What do you think the top tweets on the Beyond the Edge hashtag are?
Oh, I'm sure like maybe Paulina and David Bloomberg beefing, right? Okay.
I looked up Beyond the Edge top tweets. The top two tweets are from Jenny Autumn. Wow. Okay, so I did Beyond the Edge.
Oh, those are just the most recent tweets.
Those are top. I'm not on latest. Okay. I'm on top.
Okay.
This is a Mauro Ranallo stan account. 15 likes, Jenny Autumn. Paulina, queen of can't stop, won't stop, Jenny Autumn. Okay? And then there was a controversial tweet from... So then the next one is from David Bloomberg, who says, not really paying attention to hashtag Beyond the Edge because it's boring. But then I look up and it appears someone is drowning. Finally, something interesting. David, what are you looking for, a snuff film? We just want people to quit. We don't want anybody to drown.
I want people to die.
He says, I'm sure as we come back from commercial, she'll be fine.
I mean, she was.
Yeah. Paulina cracked back at David Bloomberg. Clapback alert. Said, yeah, sorry. We all survived. So.
We think it's fake and we're hoping people die. This is the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Evan Geller said, it's rough. Literally every episode crescendos with intense music at the faux tribal council, inferring that someone might quit. Who greenlit this thing? Please never do a why blank quit podcast. David Bloomberg said, there is no chance of us doing that podcast.
He said, I draw the line here.
Yes. No way. Dave Bloomberg is not writing rules for Beyond the Edge people.
What are the rules? I don't even know what the rules of
yes.
This.
If anybody can explain them, it's you.
Yeah, true, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling with that.
So. Yes. Then, also, the next tweet I have is Wednesday TV rating CBS veteran survivor tops night. Beyond the Edge squanders lead-in support.
Oh,
ratings were dropping a little bit.
Like drowning, dropping, mm-hmm. or just like mm-hmm. screaming in the water.
Yeah.
Flailing.
Yeah.
Not quite underwater yet.
Yes. Okay. And then Dave Bloomberg has a TikTok about Beyond the Edge. When the Beyond the Edge host was trying so hard to get someone to quit, it reminded me of something. My latest TikTok. Do you want, let's see. Do you want to hear David Bloomberg's latest TikTok?
Sure, why not?
Okay, let's see if I could play this.
Is there anyone here tonight who is ready to go back to camp, ring that bell, grab their things and go home?
They remind Dave Bloomberg of one thing.
Anyone?
Ferris Bueller.
Okay. What does it say about me that I had the same thought?
Is there anyone...
Look, great minds think alike.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah. So those are the top tweets.
Top tweets.
Yeah. Okay. So
we stay on top over here.
We covered the social media of Beyond the Edge also.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jenny, anything else to cover?
Rob, I was meaning to ask you about this last week.
What is it?
Have you paid attention to the opening credits of this show?
Tell me more. Tell me more. Oh,
it's so good. Please pay attention next time, because whoever does the opening credit visuals, graphic design is their passion. It's incredible. They take these stills of them, of the celebrities, like in their like celebrity life, or just like normal shots of them, and then like try to like morph them into like a shot of them like
in the jungle.
In the jungle. And it's like the so transitions cool. are really funny. It's so dramatic. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Okay. All right.
One of my favorite parts of the whole episode.
And Jenny,
we get to see Meta World Peace during it too. They show him first.
He's first. Yeah. Yeah.
He's the headliner.
Jenny, by the time we get to another episode of Beyond the Edge, we will have recorded a celebrity exorcism, although Mike Bloom called it something totally different.
What was it called? Celebrity
Hollywood scare.
Hollywood scare.
Yeah. Is that like Hollywood Squares? Is that?
Oh, what Hollywood Squares. Yeah.
Okay. Celebrity Maybe exorcism on Tubi. Approved. Do you want to hear the trailer for Celebrity Exorcism on a Tubi original? You want to hear that?
Why not?
Okay. Let's listen in on the trailer for this. Okay. A Tubi original.
This is how all scary movies start.
Are we ready?
Let's do it.
All right, team. We got this.
Meta World Peace.
The unexpected.
He's afraid of the unexpected? Of all he's afraid of, the unexpected is up there?
Expect the unexpected.
Yes, okay. Jodie Sweetin.
Anyone else here with us tonight?
It can be kind of
Char Jackson.
Seeing something that nobody else can see.
Are you guys doing that?
No.
Meta, are you doing that?
Mm-mm.
They're doing a Ouija board.
My name is Rachel, and I am actually an exorcist. I remove what people consider demons. We're going to be communicating with spirits right away. I feel like you're very hard on yourself.
Don't be scared.
Okay, what is happening?
What was that?
Hello?
Oh my God!
What could go wrong?
Don't leave me!
A Tubi original. Do any of the demons here want to ring the bell and leave for good? Walk back to camp. Anyone?
Get your things.
Collect your things.
Get out of this haunted house.
The power of Christ compels you.
There's something rich about like Meta being like, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Have you met you?
All right. So
I can't wait for that.
All right. We'll talk to Chappelle on Celebrity Exorcism. Only because you, the Millie Gang / the Edgers, deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it for anyone else.
Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Pretty much that.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much that. And just continuing. We got many more weeks of Beyond the Edge. I don't know how this show continues. No one's quitting, but maybe there'll be a twist and someone will quit.
Maybe. You never know.
That is apparently what we're rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
But
not for people to drown.
Yeah. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn. I'm enjoying the new Survivor season and Big Brother Canada, and that's it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just living life beyond the edge.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we greatly appreciate all of our edgers being here once again. You can go to robiswebsite.com/BTEfeed to leave us your ratings and reviews. If you want Mike Bloom to be here for a recap to tell us about his interview with Meta World Peace and other media opportunities he's had around Beyond the Edge in a special video edition of the Beyond the Edge recap. Leave us your ratings and reviews at robinswebsite.com/BTE feed. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with Celebrity Exorcism in between now and then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.